God's things.
Luke 4. Verse 13, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. We spent all day talking about that. Yes, not all day, but all Bible study yesterday. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and then went out of fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now before he, and it says in the next verse, and he came to Nazareth. Before he came to Nazareth, and for some reason Luke didn't talk about it, he went to Capernaum. And Capernaum is the home of Peter. That's the place that they found that they think was the home of Peter, and the courtyard next to his home where they met. But he did some first miracles at Capernaum. And so when he came to Nazareth now, his hometown, there'd already been a lot of talk about him. So anyway, he had ended all the temptations. He departed from him for a season. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And the reason for the fame was what I just said, what he did in Capernaum. And he taught in their synagogues and being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, Nazareth means, the word Nazareth is Nazara, and it's a Hebrew word that means the guarded place, or it could mean the guarded one. But it was guarded by God during all of the time that Jesus was raised there. And so it's the reason that Nazareth, the word, is important is because of that. Where he was brought up as trepho. In the Greek, it admits just means to nourish or nature or nurture. And it talks about that in Revelation. Let's go there a minute. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. Now this great wonder in heaven, and this woman was the sign of Virgo, the virgin. And the first sign that is studied that in the zodiac, in the Christian zodiac, which is really the only one, that talks about this whole mystery of the virgin birth of Christ. It starts at Virgo and ends at Leo. Tonight we're at Andromeda, which is really interesting. So, anyhow, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And again, this is a sign, Draco, in the heaven. And it covers a third of the heaven. And it's ready at all times. And it's in that first symbol, it's ready to destroy the child. And so this is what this is talking about, this sign in, of the first sign of the zodiac. Everybody understand that a little bit? And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God, into his throne. And so it talks about his birth and his ascension in one sentence. You understand that? And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now that they should feed is the same word, nurture, brought up. And again, then we, well, let's go ahead and read it. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now that's the story of the rest of the signs. It shows the victory of the virgin birth, the son of the virgin birth, overcoming the evil one. And that's the whole fundamental meaning and of the mystery. And the devil was, he didn't prevail, he was beaten. The devil has been destroyed, his effect has been destroyed, but he was cast out into the earth, into the mind of man. And this is why Jesus called the disciples, that the Jews that believed on him, you sons of the devil, you child of the devil. You understand that? If you do, it's rare, because this is not taught anywhere. What? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. So again, there we have this incredible mystery. Looking from the top down, all these things happened at once. The virgin, the birth, the devil trying to destroy him, but he then, everything was one. And that's what gave the ancients this confidence. That it's really, it's so incredible that we, the idea that we would concern ourselves with anything is just silly. You know, we've talked many times about the timing of God. And just think about the timing of God with regard to that virgin birth and the star. It took 65 million years from the time that the star supernovaed in the head of the child in Virgo to reach Persia at exactly the right time, so that it would take them 9 months to get to Bethlehem on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, and to get to them before the angel had warned Jesus and Mary and Joseph to take the child and flee to Egypt for a season. Now, you got to see this. You got to stop being concerned with yourself and stop being concerned with opinions and ideas that are going on in earth. And on earth, they're meaningless. The economy of God is so majestic that for you to have a concern about anything is obscene. Can you grab that for just a minute? don't, you know, again, the modern church believes in this thing called, it's not the Trinity, it's the unholy quartet. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. Don't be of that nature. You're not, don't give yourself any breath. What?
The contrast is so huge. The fact that this being, this God, who can calculate all this and do all this, and we can't even scratch the surface of comprehending it, and yet he's mindful of us.
But it's important that you not be deceived by your opinions and your ideas and your feelings. And if you take a stand in time and space, then you've fallen from the strong city. You've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. And that's not smart. John, what's going on?
I'm just thinking about this thing here. The devil was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What's the deal with these angels? Who are they? What are they up to?
You and I, the messengers.
Were the angels of Satan?
All angel means is messenger. That's what the human mind is.
Wait. We'll back up to what you were saying. Are we the angels of Satan?
The human race is. The messenger. Remember, angel just means messenger. Doesn't have to mean it. If it's talked about in another sense, then it's apparent in the scriptures where it's. You know, he names the angel Michael or Gabriel. Or
well, these are bad angels, obviously. There's good angels and bad angels?
Sure.
And good angels are?
Messengers of God.
Well, who are they? Where do we see that relevance?
When you die and he lives. But there are angels. The angels, let's talk about angels a minute. Let's talk about demons and angels. Demons are called really the.
I never associated angels with.
What?
I never associated angels with the devil.
So. Well, here, let's look at this. It says the devil and his angels were cast out. As you know, I believe there was another creation, there was an age before Adam, and it was the age of Lucifer. And it talks about Lucifer being in the Garden of Eden. It was peopled. But the people were the sons of Lucifer. And these ate both of the tree of knowledge and of the tree of life. And they were spiritualized. Boom. They're locked in space. They have one function. And that's to antagonize or be the instrument of antagonism. Now, God and his angels are in eternity. The devil and his angels are in space without regard to time. And that's the big difference. And that's where we get all these crazy bones that we see and the gargoyles that they used to put up on the churches. That's a genetic remembrance of this age of Lucifer. So, but it all, as we said before, there's no such thing as free will. There are only two wills in the universe, the will of God and the will of Satan. But even the will of God the will of Satan is the will of God, because everything is about the mystery of the seed. And the promises of Abraham go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. That's why if you have any other self but him, then you are dwelling on the earth, and you will be deceived by your senses and by your mind. Everybody get a little handle on that?
In regards to the angel, I think that's where the train started here. It's like you've talked before about angels. The messengers are just thoughts. It's, we don't have to see a manifestation of a person. person to run into an angel, though I did get called an angel yesterday.
What kind of angel?
I changed the lady's flat tire.
She was a little deceived.
All right, anyway, let's go back. Let's go.
But I mean, you were answering the question about angels. And I'm just trying to see if that made any sense.
That make any sense?
The thoughts are the best.
You don't have to believe any of this to understand or to be in him. This is what I've said is just my opinion about all of that.
It almost looks as though, okay, Satan was cast out into the earth, which is our minds. And then his angels, which are those spiritualized demons, were cast out with him. But I accept that it could be humans. I mean, he's in our minds. But we're the children of.
But they're also the good and bad angels.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have ever been in any country that where there are the belief is in animistic. You're a fool if you can't see with it. I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff. Remember, the demon has to have three things before it can affect you. First of all, you have to have given them breath. You have given them importance. You have to have opened the door of that. And then the second thing is drugs, and the third thing is illicit sex. And those three things open the door to the possibility of oppression and even possession. But the main thing is that you have to believe in them.
Where did that come from? Those three things you just described? Is that just
No, it came from one of the tracts of the Talmud. Well, I can't remember which one right now. It didn't say it in those words, but that was my read of it. Remember when I told the story before, but when we were studying this in Bananas many years ago, and Harry had started recording, and I didn't know it, but Harry was taking humongous amounts of marijuana every day. And he was sick, and so he missed a session. When we talked about this, what demons were and their possession and all that. And so he came, he was up in his 21st or 20th, whatever the floor was of his in the high rise there in Preston Towers, and he's listening while he's getting high, and it came to the point in the tape where it said the illicit sex, the possibly believing that you have to open the door to give them breath or importance, and then drugs. He got so paranoid it was unbelievable. He just went nuts. He thought every when he looked at helicopters, he thought they were coming after him. But he never again used marijuana. I'm not too sure about the illicit sex, but I think it sure scared him anyway.
You've told us over and over again that there's only two in the world. There's
in the world, there's sons of
and the Antichrist.
The bride and the Christ. The bride and the bride. Well, it's the two in the world are the bride and the whore. Vessels of wrath, vessels of mercy.
And, you know, we either got the Spirit of God living in us or we've got, you know, we're Satan incarnate living in us. I don't know if it helps any or it hurts any. I wonder, I've always assumed that demons were the same way. Just, you know, continuation is fragmentation of the same being into multiple things, so you can talk about it, you know, in a way that makes sense inside a linear time. You know, still only two things out there.
Right.
You can give them names and divide them into pieces so you can talk about them. There's still only two.
There's only two. That's what Paul says in Romans. There's only vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. There's only the whore or the bride. There's no in between. But it's not determined until after death. Now, again, none of this stuff is necessary. You don't have to believe any of this stuff. This isn't from God. This is from my understanding of it. So, anyway, we're not where we're going to go. In verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman and brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, and her place where she was nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent.
There's another
nourished.
Nourished
is the same word, strepo. She was brought up. Now, this time and times and half a time, this mystical 3.5 years. It's 3.5 years from the time of Christ's baptism until his actual death. It's a time and a time and a time and a half. It's the time from which a believer, and this again, this is my opinion, it's a time from which a believer goes from believing in Christ to living by the faith of Christ. And that mystical time is 3.5 years. It's the period of time between the fast of Ab and the fast of Tammuz. The between the straits period that causes you to go from believing in him to living by the faith of him. And so it's throughout, there's many other places where the 3.5 years or this time and times and time and a half is. But it's a mystical thing. It's a that it's dependent on our obedience. You see, because the real thing is already finished. All right, how do we get in all that stuff? Back to Luke.
Some messenger brought it to us.
What?
A good angel.
Verse 16 continued. That's what my thing says. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Again, the synagogue, it just means an assembly, and it means the gathering of fruit or grain, or as we saw before, but it was come to mean the place where the Torah was read. Remember, in the early synagogues, it was said that there couldn't be walls. They had to be on top of a hill where the wind blew, and it was because this was the threshing floor for that Seder, so that the wind would constantly be blowing the chaff, so the wheat would remain.
Let's go to James 2, so we get this in our heads.
It's just so not our business how it works. This 3.5 years made me think of this, where you just throw yourself in the pile. I mean, you do what you do. God does the work. This is where religion always makes the fork in the road for me. Is religion tries to get you to make it happen or work it or behave your way into the kingdom. But God's grace, the other path is...
But remember, he will never violate your will. That's why repentance and emptiness is the key. Remember, he said when we studied the covenant Sunday night, the blood covenant. Remember the end of it. I said there's two scriptures. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it, and in another place it says he will will it and do it in you. But let's go to, we're going to skip
we're going to come back to James in a second, but go to Revelation 14.
Yeah, that brings up the free will aspect of even repenting. Can you, by your free will, repent, or does he willing to do it in you?
Well, again, I ask you, does it take you any effort to walk away when you take a dump?
No.
Okay, because it stinks. And so if you have the integrity of an ant, you will begin to see that all of human effort is that same stench. All of your ideas and plans and ambitions are of that same stench. So it's a matter of hearing, and then what you hear is what you see. And when you see that this body of sin and death, and it is the best it can do is dung, it takes no effort to abandon it and walk away from it. But there has to be that seeing, as long, because the strength of the curse is so strong. The strength of the curse is always self-realization. And so when you see the vanity and emptiness of self-realization, then that what happens then is you've seen that you died on the cross, and this being has been masquerading as you all your life. But you can't leave repentance to God. Repentance depends on you seeing the emptiness of your effort. Otherwise, you will continue to believe in yourself and put God's name on it. You will continue to sin that grace may abound, God forbid. So that's why the preaching of the cross is always your death.
Where does him willing it, doing it, fit into this?
Again, he will never violate your being. He won't occupy where you are.
I think where it fits in is where when we let go of ourselves. Then he wills it and does it, but not while we're trying or present or self-seeking. Or
we'll see that when the next next word is Sabbath. But let's go to, where did I say go? Revelation 14. All right, verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. It's only those that die in the Lord that are blessed. And from the standpoint of, that's why the renewal of your mind is so critical. And again, this word integrity is real. Integrity comes from a word that means one. But as long as you live in your fantasy, then there is no reality, there's no integrity. Because you continue to think that you're something special. You continue to think that your ideas are good and your opinions are worthwhile. And that's the role of a preacher, is to mock you, to mock them. That's the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is the power of God, and it's the power of God because the preaching of the cross shows you your death on the cross. So blessed are they which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors
and their works do follow them. They have no idea they're really doing anything. If they do anything, remember in Matthew 25, when did we ever do any of these things? So you're not even aware of it. But the minute you think you're doing something worthwhile, then you've been deceived because you've resurrected the evil one, and it will poison everything that you thought was good. Now, let's go back to James. Now, damn. I said damn in Bible study. Anybody have any other thoughts on any of this? We'll continue looking at synagogue in the next meeting.
I was thinking of the word blessed there and how the flesh always wants to make that, I received something. But the blessed is that what you've received is him. You die in him and then he is your reward.
And he is your life.
He is your life. That's
blessed. You can't separate.
Yeah. There's some blessedness.
And that word, you remember, means not subject to fate.
Yeah, you're subject to God.
Is there any connection between synagogue and the word sin?
No. No connection.
For sure.
Except we'll see in a minute when we study tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll go to Revelation and see a couple of verses where they're called the synagogue of Satan. As long as you're preaching self-realization in the name of God, you're the synagogue of Satan. John, where are you?
Where?
Mardell.
Carnegie Hall. I'm just thinking about what you said earlier, and I don't know if I can get around that. You and I are angels of any kind, Satan's or otherwise.
Angel just means messenger.
Okay, that's fine, but we're not angels.
No.
Can't be.
Of course not. Not in what you're thinking of.
Not in what I'm thinking of. I'm responding to what you said. You said you and I were angels of the devil. I don't think we're angels of any. That's not our place on the mountain, you know?
And I told you, That only has meaning when you understand that angel means messenger.
It's like being an angel of light.
That's why, right, it says that the people are masquerading as angels of light. And that masquerade comes from trying to do. I mean, it's a word that has many meanings. Well, it's important in that your idea of angels is these beings
I
that
have
are.
One. That's why I asked.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I'm not trying to be difficult, but I don't. I'm trying to.
Okay, all I'm saying to you, John, it's fine. I don't. Nobody really understands angels. Mm-hmm. The only thing I know.
Are they out there working?
There are angels that are out there working, doing stuff.
And they kind of like report to Satan, just like the good angels report to God, kind of thing. I mean, that's kind of
in that context, yeah. There's demons that report. The angels of Satan are called demons normally, except in that one verse. Well, two verses. But again, when it talks about the angel of the churches, the seven churches, when in Revelation, where it's to the angel of the church in Ephesus, to the angel of the church. That's just, the word angel there just means to the messenger of that church, not
sure.
Some being.
Gabriel reported there, went to Mary and Joseph and all that stuff.
Yeah, but the angel in Revelation, mm-hmm. That's the same word, angelo. Mm-hmm. It means the messenger, the leader of those churches. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it can be a being. I mean, they're
of course. I'm saying this. That's the problem. The word angelo in the Greek covers two things, three things, four things, if you want. It covers a person that's a messenger.
It covers a being that's an angelic being that we, you know, some people claim they see all the time. But I don't see them all the time. But that's the problem is I wish they would have used two different words for messenger there so that this confusion wouldn't have happened because it happens all the time. What the question that John asked is the common. I mean, everybody has that question, and I did a very bad job of answering it. But anyway,
I don't think there is an answer, really.
No, I don't either. Not we won't know until it's finished. Okay.
C.S. Lewis tried to answer that question in Screwtape Letters. He did a fair job there. It's worth reading.
Well, he did it. Yeah, I mean, I agree. But again, it was, he didn't address the idea of where they came from.
True.
All right. We'll continue in synagogue tomorrow. Take it big, guy.